When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Victory formation at home. They win their second straight home game to get back to 2-2. And Matt Eberflus calms the storm in Chicago for the moment. Sean McVay, still shorthanded, falls to 1-3 on the season.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Trista Crick here, back on The Score. Yeah. Eberflus calms the ire of the fan base for now. 500 after that win over the Rams. By the way, didn't have most of their offensive line, didn't have their two best wide receivers, but who cares? Kyron Williams was still there. He was still balling, and a win at the crib as a win. So before we get to your calls, let's go to the guest score hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We welcome to the show Carmen Vitale, an NFL reporter for Fox Sports and also host on Fox Sports Radio, all around badass. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Trista. What an intro.
I pride myself on increasing the self-importance and confidence of those who come on the show. That's a part of the package.
I love it.
So let's talk a little Bears. I do want to talk about the rest of the NFL as well, given the fact that you cover the entire league. But I think we knew that the defense before this year was going to be really good. And it's turned out, I think, to even be better than a lot of people expected. And you look at the Montez Sweat move, and I wonder whether that's where it all started. For you, as you look at the transformation of this defense, which, you know, last year in the beginning of the season wasn't particularly great, how do you, like, rank the importance of the addition of him? Because right now the Bears have been keeping opponents under 21 points pretty much every game he's played for Chicago.
Yeah, I think what you're seeing with Montez Sweat is just the ability to win even when he's double-teamed. And that's one of the craziest things, I think. That, you know, the Bears were, quite frankly, missing that guy that could get pressure anyway. And what I think is really interesting is kind of this, coming into the season, I think the biggest concern anybody had on defense, at least, was the interior of the defensive line. What are you doing to help Montez Sweat not get those double teams, not have all that attention on him? And I, myself included, thought, all right, you really need a three tech to make this defense go. That's something that's really important for Matt Eberflus, who always wants to get pressure with four guys. And can do you have the guys that can kind of win outright and split up all this attention from opposing offensive lines? And they told us to trust the process with Jervon Dexter, who didn't play the three tech position in college. They told us to trust the process with guys like Andrew Billings and some of those interior guys. And that's been the biggest thing, I think, this season that's clicked into place. You go back to the Montez Sweat trade, that kind of clicked everything for last year. But then this year, Jervon Dexter and Andrew Billings are winning. And they are, I think, between the two of them, they have 17 pressures just this season alone through four games. And then on top of that, the Bears defensive line in general, the interior of the defensive line, is generating, I believe, the eighth most pressures of any defensive front in the league. That is exactly what you need in Matt Eberflus's defense. It's helping out the guys on the back end because forcing some of those errant throws that these quarterbacks are taking advantage of. It's just all working. And I think this is a top five defense, if not top three.
Yeah, speaking of the defense, what about the secondary? My goodness, Warren Sharp has them ranked as high as fourth in the NFL. But that actually might feel like a little low considering how they've been shutting down opposing offenses, even somebody like C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, that was so interesting to see kind of coming into that game against the Bears. C.J. Stroud, I believe, was 9 for 9 on third and fourth down. He did not get out of that game being perfect on third and fourth down. And he was pestered not only by that defensive front, but there were disguised coverages. There were different things that were done in the defensive backfield where these guys capitalized on it. And I think you look at especially Jalen Johnson, who, you know, got paid this offseason, and he's living up to the billing as being the leader of this secondary. You have Jaquan Brisker, who is doing such incredible things. Because of the fact that the versatility with which they use him, he is down in the box a lot, and he likes to hit people. But then you have him calling game against the Rams in the end zone and picking off Matt Stafford. I mean, these are things that are just the pieces that are all kind of marrying up with each other. I think I didn't even talk about Kevin Byard, who is holding it down. The Bears are actually running a lot more single high this year than they have before, and that's primarily the duty of Kevin Byard, given how much Jaquan Brisker likes to be in the box. So I actually agree that I think the secondary is really getting the props that it deserves for the turnovers it's creating. And the Bears right now are sitting at a +2 turnover margin. That's sixth in the league right now. And that's really taking a lot of pressure off this offense.
Yeah, and Tom Brady talked about that being the key metric that he uses to determine whether a team is good or not, which I thought was fascinating. Of course, we got to kind of talk about the offense a little bit. And so many people thought it was going to be Detroit Lions light right away. We obviously haven't seen that. And some people are panicking. Some people are questioning where we're seeing the development of Caleb Williams. I think that's a little bit premature considering where this offensive line has been. What for you are you seeing from Caleb Williams? Is he where you thought he would be at this point in the season?
Quite frankly, yeah, he is. I think it looked a little worse than I probably expected it to right off the bat, but I did not have high expectations immediately for the Chicago Bears offense, given the fact that everyone's new. Caleb's a rookie. I know we've been spoiled with some rookie performances, and C.J. Stroud is probably the worst thing to happen to rookie quarterbacks ever, but it's a difference of approach, I think, a lot in what they asked C.J. Stroud to do early in his career, what they're asking Jaden Daniels to do currently in Washington. They're kind of easing these guys in a little bit, where I feel like the Bears kind of gave everything to Caleb Williams, all of the responsibility, the entire playbook, and there was no easing him in. It was a baptism by fire, but they're betting on Caleb Williams to come out the other side, and that's what you've seen. You've seen incremental improvement every single week. You saw this last game how the offense became more multidimensional, and that got, you know, that opened up some things for Caleb Williams. You saw him take some of those check downs instead of kind of trying to force the ball down the field, especially on those third and short situations, which I think was so frustrating. But this is a guy in college that was able to do those things. And so it's kind of like him learning in real time what he can and can't get away with in the NFL. And I point to a situation like last year in Green Bay. I know Chicago fans don't want to talk about Green Bay, but you have Jordan Love, who had been in this system for 3 years, riding the bench behind a Hall of Fame quarterback, getting to practice with him, getting to watch him execute the system that he now knew like the back of his hand, it still took Jordan Love a half a season to really grasp the offense and get on the same page with the rest of it, with his receivers, with his tight ends, with even his running backs. It took half a season for Matt LaFleur to trust his offense and open up the playbook. And that is with having 3 years to sit and digest that system. Caleb Williams did not have that runway. We need to give him time. And we still need to give him time, but you're seeing the improvement, and that should be encouraging.
You mentioned Jaden Daniels, who has looked like, I don't even know what to say. I mean, it's been incredible to see his accuracy at 90% completion rating, no interceptions. But you mentioned something, you know, very poignant, which is that they're not opening the full playbook up to him, and they're making things easy for him as a rookie. Why do you think they're not doing that in Chicago with Caleb? And do you think that's a mistake?
Yeah, I think if you look back at kind of the quarterbacks that Shane Waldron has worked with in the past, where it has worked out and things have, you know, opened up for them. But like, he had Geno Smith, right, in Seattle. Well, before Geno Smith got to Seattle, Geno Smith had played a lot of football. He was not a rookie. You think about when Shane Waldron took over with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson had played a lot of football prior to when Shane Waldron kind of got a hold of that scheme. So I think it has to do with the fact that this is kind of the way that Shane Waldron teaches his offense. It's just so happens that this time around, you've got a rookie quarterback that maybe you could have been a little bit more delicate with. But I do think that it speaks to the trust that the Bears have in Caleb Williams himself, saying, yeah, we know this is hard. We know this is going to take some time, but we're going to give you everything because we know you can handle it eventually. And I think that Caleb Williams has. And again, you see just like that incremental improvement, and the fact that it's coming with some wins, I think, is more than you could have even hoped for at this point. The Bears are sitting at 500. That's fine. That's great. You're now entering into kind of an easier part of your schedule. I talked a lot of in the preseason about how this part of the schedule was going to be, you know, the sweet spot where this offense could really start to gel and click, going against some perhaps lesser competition, if we can call them that. And it's still probably going to be up and down, but you had this really long runway before you're going to get into division play. That week 11 game versus the Green Bay Packers, I know, is already circled on these guys' calendars, but you are kind of giving him the opportunity to just work himself through it. And the fact that the Bears are stealing wins, that's a bonus.
You mentioned Shane Waldron. I don't know if you saw that clip from Jackson Smith and the Jigba when they asked him about his former OC, like, hey, what should Bears fans expect? And the praise was like not there, right? He's like, he's a good guy. Is this interview live right now? And I think a lot of people are starting to wonder whether Shane Waldron is fugazi, whether, you know, what we're seeing from him is going to be able to be creative, or whether he's, you know, this guy. What do you think? Like, what are you hearing from people that you talk to about him? Or is it just, hey, like, it's going to take some time for his, you know, creativity to really be utilized as Caleb starts to develop?
Yeah, I think that it definitely is the latter. And I think that the fact that he doesn't know these players perhaps as well as he would want to, given the fact that they've only had 4 live games. I mean, you can do what you can in mini camp and OTAs. You do what you can in training camp, but you don't really know and understand your personnel until they get onto the field with live game action. And I think, again, just in the way that Caleb Williams is kind of figuring out this team, so is Shane Waldron. And, you know, you hear about how this past week, a lot of the veterans kind of went to Shane Waldron and said, don't be afraid to coach us. We're okay taking criticism. I think Mercedes Lewis led a lot of that, which speaks volumes considering the veteran that he is. And I think you're just seeing, hey, all right, he's learning. Shane Waldron is learning how to utilize his personnel. And I don't think there's any better example of that than what we saw with DeAndre Swift and Roschon Johnson. Getting Roschon Johnson in those short yardage situations, getting him to be the one to kind of go to take the ball up the gut through the middle. I was very, very encouraged by the Bears' first rushing touchdown, where they did not overcomplicate things. They get to the goal line, they trot out 23 personnel. They put two running backs, one of which is a fullback disguised as an offensive lineman disguised as a fullback. And then you have the three tight ends attached to the formation, basically creating a wall of blockers on top of the lead blocker in the offensive lineman. And they just ran it into the end zone with Roschon Johnson. That is exactly what you want to see. They didn't overcomplicate it. That was just, we're going to overpower your defense and get into the end zone. And they did. And then you saw them getting DeAndre Swift out into space. This run scheme, you saw them run a lot more zone and kind of stretch the field out horizontally a little bit to try to create those running lanes. You saw Cole Kmet get into this blocking scheme a little bit more and a little bit more creatively. This is what you're just going to have to give time to kind of develop. And then once they have these base concepts down, once he understands how to utilize his personnel, then he can really open it up.
Where do you think the Bears finish in the NFC North? I mean, a lot of people didn't see this Vikings team coming, and now they're only one of two teams that's undefeated. The other team happens to be the defending champs.
Yeah, I will say I was high on the Vikings this offseason. I really was. I was like, you know, even if they finish in the basement of the NFC North, it's going to be – they're going to be a 7-8-9 win team. Now they're looking like they're an 8-9-10-11 win team. I really had a lot of faith in Kevin O'Connell as a coach. I definitely knew that they were going to give Sam Darnold a really long leash regardless of what was happening with J.J. McCarthy. The fact that he goes down didn't change a whole lot, I don't think, for this Minnesota Vikings offense and what they were planning to do regardless. They didn't pay Sam Darnold $10 million to only start a couple of games for them. They were going to give him a long time. So he was going to have to be integrated into this offense that has so much talent on top of having a coach like Kevin O'Connell, who last year played live action Madden when Kirk Cousins went down, and he had guys starting for him that had only gotten there 3 days prior. So there were things that Kevin O'Connell was doing that carried over. You see how well he coached Sam Darnold now is under him. And then, oh, by the way, they have probably the best defensive play caller in the league right now in Brian Flores, who nobody can figure out right now. Like, this is just, he's an absolute mastermind, madman, joker of defense type of guy. Like, this defense has put so much autonomy into the players' hands, because I actually got to talk to Brian Flores before his first season with Minnesota and ask him all about his scheme. I spent like 45 minutes with him. It was awesome. And what he told me was he wanted to empower the players to make decisions on the field, because he's not on the field. He can't see everything from the vantage point that he has. So his players then have the freedom to change things on field as they're happening. Planning for that as an offense is so incredibly hard. We haven't seen anybody be able to figure it out. And between Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores, I really do think the sky's the limit for that team. I don't know how this division shakes out anymore. It's going to be the toughest division, I think, in football. And I don't think it's close.
Yeah, the Vikings are a monster right now. I don't know how you stop them. Boy, oh boy, does Sam Darnold look good as well. In terms of the NFL as a whole, Carmen, like, what do you think is the biggest storyline for you so far, and the biggest surprise besides a team like the Vikings?
I'm trying to, like, I think the Commanders being as competent as they are is definitely one of the more surprising things. I was really high on the Bills, even though they were losing everything they did on offense. Honestly, Matt Milano going down in Buffalo was probably the most concerning thing to me, because I thought the offense would still be okay with Josh Allen. So the fact that Sean McDermott has figured out how to account for so many losses on defense and figure that all out, I think is really impressive. A little bit surprising. The Bills look really, really great. Things have been so topsy-turvy as they are, I feel like, every start to the season, just given the fact that teams don't have really tape on each other and they don't know what these teams are going to look like. We're starting to get a clearer picture of all of that. I'm very interested now to see what happens with Devontae Adams, if he ends up getting traded out of Las Vegas. There's so much, honestly. I'm like, it's like analysis by, or paralysis by analysis, I guess. There's so much that's really kind of popped off at the beginning of this season. But I feel like that's pretty much the case of every season.
Yeah, a lot of people think Devontae is a target for a team like the Chiefs or a team like Dallas, which I don't think Dallas could afford them. They're just cheap. They're my teams, a cheap organization. You think there's any validity for him to go to play with Aaron Rodgers again in the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, I actually just tweeted this out because I wondered if Aaron Rodgers is willing to do the Tom Brady thing of reworking your contract to free up more cap space. The Jets currently have about $17 million in cap space right now. I think to get a guy like Devontae and to take on that contract, you're probably looking at needing about $20 million in cap space. Just, you know, this is just kind of me guesstimating as to what the team would need. That could be freed up by, say, someone like Rodgers kind of reworking his contract. He has a $17 million cap hit this year. Can you bring that down to bring in someone like Devontae? I'm sure that Rodgers would love that. And we know that he has a lot of pull within that organization. Otherwise, I mean, I also tweeted about, you know, he should be a Cowboy. Devontae Adams should be a Cowboy, but Jerry Jones doesn't spend money like that. So I just don't see that happening either. I know it would be very unlikely to see an interdivision trade, especially to the defending champions, but I do think that Mark Davis is pretty desperate to offload Devontae Adams' contract. And if the Chiefs price it, I mean, everybody has a price, even if it is your division rival, do the Raiders really have any aspirations of contending this year? I think the answer is no. How realistic is your owner going to be? Is your GM going to be in that? And if they can get a good return from the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, you know, the Chiefs could use him, and it just kind of could be the difference between three-peating and not for Kansas City. I don't know. I get it. It's an interdivision trade, but teams do this all the time, especially now, especially in the NFC North for that matter. We've seen a lot of interdivision trades. You never know. You just never know.
Awesome stuff. Thank you so much for coming on, Carmen. We're going to have to do this again sometime soon. You were awesome.
Yeah, anytime. Just thanks for calling me.
Thanks so much. All right, give a shout out. Many thanks to Carmen Vitale. You can find her on NFL Reporter for Fox Sports, as well as host on Fox Sports Radio as well. There were so many good nuggets from that interview. She broke the game down, boy. She was just, I was over here taking notes. Give me a call. Let me know what you think. 312-644-6767. What's been the biggest storyline of the NFL so far to you? Back after this break with more Bears Talk. Trista Crick here on the screen.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Score.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Little Anderson Pop here. Oh, yeah. I really don't waste your time. I'm not wasting your time. We only got 2 hours. Up next is BetMGM tonight. Last hour of that crazy ass show that I was on for 3 hours. 3 years, not 3 hours. I wish it was 3 hours. It was a 4 hour show nightly. But Ryan will be by himself giving out some bets, talking about the Bears, I'm sure, NFC North. How do you even bet the NFC North right now? I have no idea. Just got off the horn with Carmen Vitale. If you missed these interviews tonight, like, just don't. Just go back and listen to them because they were both fire. So good, so insightful, so casual. It was a vibe. Tonight has been a vibe. Robbie's got his Tigers jersey on. He's feeling it. He's watching some TV, and he's producing the hell out of this show. But the big theme tonight, I think, as we talk about the Bears, and next segment we will talk a little Bulls because media day was today and I've got some thoughts, but should we adjust our expectations for this team, this Bears team, now that we have a quarter of the season underneath our belt? Especially considering that we've got the soft spot of the season coming up. You know, Panthers, Pats, I mean, it's getting, woo. Jaguars, which we thought maybe start of the season would be okay with Trevor Lawrence and their garbage. They're the worst team in the NFL. Should we adjust our expectations or have things gone the same way as we thought? For me, personally, we talked about this when we were discussing Hard Knocks and how much hype Hard Knocks would bring on to the expectations of this team, is that we really shouldn't have expectations in terms of wins and losses for this squad with a rookie quarterback. New weapons, multiple new weapons, three of them, Swift, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze. Oh, and yeah, I mean, it just has been one of those things. And new offensive coordinator, multiple changes to the team, and an offensive line that's like not that good. So for me, I honestly thought at this point in the season, the team would be 2-2 already. I didn't think it would be beating the Rams. I'll tell you that. I thought they would have beaten the Colts, but it is what it is. Like, I didn't think that they would be down so many points to the Titans and then find a way for their defense to come back, but here we are. So then you look forward to the rest of the schedule, right, for the Bears, and this next part is the opportunistic zone. You got to come out of these games with wins. Like, there's just no other way you can skin that cat. Panthers, Jags at home, which, by the way, I don't know if you know this, Robbie, the Bears have the longest home winning streak in the NFL at 7. That's pretty nice. Pretty good.
That doesn't even seem real because I don't even think I've seen the Bears win that many games recently for them
right?
to like do that.
I had
Chicago weather, bear weather, you know?
Bear weather.
And by bear weather last week it was like 70 and sunny and a little windy, but that was it.
You mean global warming? No. Both very winnable games though, Jags and Panthers. with Andy Red Rocket Dalton at the helm now. Let's put them at 4-2 before going on the road trip with Washington and Arizona. And I think the thing, I kind of think we're a little bit like going crazy about the Commanders right now. And I think Jaden Daniels looks really good, like really good, okay? But this could be a pumpkin scenario because the defense puts up points, gives up points, and you know, like that's going to happen regardless. But the Bears defense is making CJ Stroud look mediocre. How is Jaden Daniels going to look against this defense, right? The only defense that they've played that's for real are the Bucs, and they got blown out in week one. The Cardinals are not real. The Bengals, not real. So I'm fascinated to see how that game goes. I think as much as I want to just give that game to the Commanders, I cannot do that. No chance can I do that. They're the Commanders. That's what they do. It's like, I'm going to need to see it to believe it. Then you've got the Cardinals, which like, woof. I don't know what's going on there. They're no good. The best game really that they've had in terms of the way that they looked was really that fight in week one against the Bills. And I think this team makes life very uncomfortable for Kyler Murray. This defense is coming for that ass. Oh boy. So then you've got the Pats. Pause. Then you've got the Pats, who are one of the worst teams in football, with an offensive line that's an absolute sieve. Like, Jacoby Brissett is getting killed every single week. That's why they don't want to play Drake May. They're afraid he's going to get his head knocked off. So 6-3 after 9 weeks. I think that's a great success. I would settle for 5-4. But I think if it's anything worse than 5-4, we got problems. Then the schedule gets into the teeth of the divisional rivalry games, which is wild that they start in week 10. Like, just wild. But that's good for Caleb Williams and his development and creating momentum for this team and belief. But none of those games are going to be easy. Like, you can't pencil in. I'm not going to pencil in losses, but I'm certainly not penciling any automatic wins there. So the bad part about the first part of the season is that the offense hasn't been good. But the good part is that really they're where they should be with the record that it is. And that's kind of what all that matters. What do they say? There's no pictures in golf. It's just the scorecard. No one's taking pictures out here, okay? You're 2-2. There's a bunch of other teams that are 2-2. Some of them look better with the eye test, and some of them don't. But we don't really know it at this point, who anybody is. Is there work, besides the Chiefs, is there work to be done? Sure, absolutely. Automatic, yes. I know what Carmen said, but I'm a little suspect on Shane Waldron. I saw that little spray chart, and I don't like it. I don't like where DJ Moore is getting the ball this year as opposed to last year. I don't like how utilized JSN is now all over the field and how many routes he and how often he was on the field under Shane Waldron. Don't like that. Don't like that. But I get it. Maybe he's a creative savant, and this porous offensive line is stifling his Picasso-esque abilities. I don't know. I'm just going to say we're putting a pin in this. It's one of those things we're keeping an eye on. Just today, Jason Moore and Warren Sharp went in on Waldron. They're showing Jaxon Smith and the Jigba's pass chart, routes that he ran when he was with Waldron, and it was sparse. It was like the hairs on the head of Rich Eisen, baby. Like, not really there, okay?
And then Rich Eisen taking a stray, man. He's covered in shrapnel right now. What would Rich Eisen do?
Rich Eisen needs to come on home, baby. He needs to, it's coming home. Just come home, Rich. That's what it was for JSN. And then after, JSN was everywhere. Everywhere on the field. Looked like the hairs on Robbie's head. Plethora of hairs. Now you see DJ Moore's pass chart before Waldron. Passes everywhere. Tons of targets per game. Waldron's comes to the Bears. Almost no targets. Very little creativity in the routes that he's running on the field. Which I would imagine if I am a wide receiver who is getting super paid, who got traded and was the centerpiece of the offense with my man Justin Fields, and I get this treatment with the rookie quarterback, and you traded my mans in them, I'm at the end of the bench too. I'm staying on the bench waiting for everyone to go back. I'm going to get on my Calm app, do a little breathing exercise, and then go into the halftime speech from Flus to say whatever Flus is going to say. We've been getting warned about Waldron all season, off season. And to be fair to me, the concerns are real. More and more people are pointing fingers at him. Play designs are unoriginal. Star players aren't going to be in a position to succeed. If star players aren't, let me just give you a little heads up. I don't think I need to be a genius or a psychic to know this or say this. But if your star players are not in a position to succeed, your dynastic number one overall pick quarterback, not in a position to succeed either. That's just the way it goes. That's the way love goes. So this is like the major sticking point to watch for this quarter, next quarter of the season. And it will impact everything for this Bears play. Which is why defensive players were saying, hey, Shane, why don't you open up the playbook, my guy? You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't want to always have to play from behind. Can you get DeAndre Swift in space? Like, he gets busy out there. Pause. I almost made a joke about baby oil, but I didn't. As an aside, that one, Robbie got that one late. As an aside, we got to recognize Mercedes Lewis, by the way. Give a little shout out to him. He has now played 272 games in his 19-year NFL career, which is the most by a tight end in NFL history, snapping a tie with Jason Witten. That's insane. By the way, we have that JSN clip back going back to Waldron. So, like, they asked Jaxon Smith-Njigba on, like, Radio Row, like, hey, what are Bears fans supposed to expect from Shane Waldron? You know him. You love him, right? Right? So what do you say?
Bears fans are super interested about the offensive coordinator coming in, Shane Waldron. What can you tell them about who they just hired to try to get this offense where it needs to go?
This is live?
Yeah. We're not live.
I'm playing. good luck to y'all. I mean, he's a great person, great offensive coordinator. I was very lucky to have him my first year. Learned a lot from him. I think him and Justin will mesh well. And, you know, adding more guys around him, I think it would be great. So we'll see.
Do you have any advice that you give to Justin in that situation, considering that you know the coach that's coming in?
Oh, yeah. I mean he's going to love Justin. So really just Justin, be yourself and go make plays for real. That's it.
Fair enough.
He did not. Let's just say he did not love Justin. Justin got the hell up out of Dodge and is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. Wow. I've never seen anything like that. Usually you can muster up a lie or two. I mean, he's a good guy. He's going to love Justin. Will Justin love him? No. Like, is Caleb loving him? I don't know. The whole thing is bizarre. I promise you, it's going to start getting louder and louder. The tape, I don't know if you saw it, Robbie, but on Twitter, they're going through tape and showing how bad the personnel are on the field for the situation that he's in and the plays that he's calling. The schemes, like, combination with the personnel, they're just like, this is egregious. If this isn't a check, if this isn't just a change, a play by Caleb Williams, like, then this is a disaster. So I'm fascinated to see what happens next here. So we have a giveaway, by the way, before we go to break. Be the sixth caller right now to win a $150 gift card to the auction. Uncharted Escape Room at Wonderverse in Oakbrook. I don't know. Are you a escape room fan, Robbie? I know I am.
I can dabble with an escape room. Hell yeah.
Yeah. A little escaping. I'm down to do some escaping. If you are down to do some free escaping, $150 gift card to be exact, why don't you give us a call? 312-540-0670 right now. Like, stop sleeping. You know what I mean? Start escaping, stop sleeping. Now to win this prize, once again, be the sixth caller. 312-540-0670. We got to get to break, don't we, Robbie? Give us a call, 312-644-6767. Let's talk about Bulls Media Day after this. Robbie's got a new segment called Fact or Cap.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yes. The ball. Oh, my God. I just worked. Oh, have you ever just gotten so excited that you... Oh, my God, Robbie, start talking. Oh, my gosh.
You sound like Zach LaVine in the clutch. Oh, my God. Start coughing, all that. Welcome, everybody, to Score Evenings. I'm Robbie Triano.
Oh,
I'm producing. Trista Crick is hosting.
I got so excited with the Bulls music that I just went, oh, you know.
You heard Michael Jordan with that music, and it stunned you.
It did, and I ended up, like, swallowing some of my own spit, which you never want. Anyway, you don't want to know about that. It's time for the Bulls Media Day. It happened. This is the best day of a Bulls fan's life, by the way. It's, like, the only day where you can say anything is possible. It's all right in front of us. Zach LaVine's going to play nice. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be happy. He's going to play in the development role. He's going to be like Big Bro. Right? He's going to take Kobe White under his wing. He's going to take Matas under his wing. He's going to take all the youngins and develop him. He said today, I'll play defense if they want me to. I'll play defense if that's the... Zach, you're a cone, bro. Okay? You're a cone. We've got Arturis Karnisovas, head of all of the roster moves and the chessboard for the Bulls, being like, hey, our priority is winning games, right? Our priority isn't getting Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey. That's not our priority. So the hope and the excitement is there. Really quick, if you did not listen to our interview with Mike Renner or Carmen Vitale, go back. Check the Odyssey app for those interviews. They were awesome. Back to the Bulls, though. Whew. By the way, if you like NBA conversations, I have a podcast. I don't know if I'm allowed to plug that. I think I am. It's an Odyssey podcast. Go there. It's called The Heat Check with Trista Crick. All NBA focused at all times. I thought we would go over some of the big stories from Bulls Media Day, and then we'll go into fact or cap, as Robbie would say. He gives me some storylines, and I tell him whether I believe him or not. So first and foremost, Lonzo Ball says he's going to be back for opening night. I can't tell you how cool that would actually be. I think I stole your thunder. That was one of them, wasn't it?
Yeah, man, that's the goal. Obviously, you know, we can't really tell the future, but that's the plan I'm on. And I think I'll be ready for the first game for sure.
Fact or cap?
Fact or cap? Oh, I think it's fact. I want to believe. He says he has a brand new knee. He said, Mama's got a brand new knee right now. I don't even know. I'm jumping. Have I seen any videos of Lonzo Ball jumping? I have not. I've seen a lot of corner threes, catch and shoot. I'd like to see some windmills. I'd like to see some live action. Haven't seen him on a treadmill. Haven't seen him run up and down. But I'm going to say fact, because this is the first we've actually heard from Lonzo Ball on Media Day since he got brought to the team before he got injured to begin with when he went with Alex Caruso. I'm going to say fact, though. So the next thing is that Zach LaVine made a long and passionate speech about wanting to be in Chicago. And he says what?
I got it first. I want to... thank everybody. Obviously, I'm very happy to be back here. Extremely happy to be back, you know, in training camp. It's been a long summer. Fully healthy, but, you know, I'm excited to come back here, compete. I've had a lot of learning to do and watched a lot of film, so I'm excited to be able to play offensively, defensively, whatever role they put me in. I'm excited for that. You know, when you go through a long offseason like I have, you get to learn a lot about yourself and the company you keep. I have an extremely well support system. And I think that with everything that I learned, there's times you need to speak and there's times that you don't. I had probably how long until I talked to you guys? I was talking to you guys in February of last year. Whenever there's something that needs to be said, it'll come from Zach LaVine or my representation. And, you know, there's a lot of thoughts and rumors, opinions about me, about the organization. So just know whenever it needs to come from me or them, you'll know it'll be from them.
Oh, my God. Go ahead. Is it
Yes, that factor cap. Zach LaVine happy to be in Chicago and that everything else that was said about him was not real and it didn't come from his mouth, so all the rumors were fake and definitely not from his agent, Rich Paul?
It is absolute cap, by the way, but really fast before I explain why that was cap. Does anybody think that Zach LaVine read, like, the cliff notes of, like, the four agreements and, like, all these different self-help books? He's like, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. He's like, the one thing I learned is that my support system is well around me. And so if you want to know something, I'm going to say something. But for now, I'm just happy to be here. You're like, what kind of talking points were you given?
He had a very long off season, so he probably was like, maybe I should read a book. And I think he definitely read the Four Agreements. That's hilarious.
he's like, don't take anything personally. And then back to the factor cap. Let me just tell you how reporting works. I'm sure everybody knows, but like, people don't just make stuff up, right? You have to actually have, it's not hearsay either. Like, hey, I heard that Zach LaVine was unhappy or that there was friction between the Bulls. You have to actually have someone from the Bulls and then someone from Zach LaVine's side leak that information for you to get you to your intended destination. And I would bet you, because I know what time it is with Rich Paul and Clutch Sports, they were trying to get Zach LaVine up out of there. Then they realized they couldn't get him up out of there, and now they're playing nice.
So it's funny because I was at the Champions Classic the day that he announced that he was like the trade rumors, not he announced, but the rumors came out. It's like, oh, that's weird. And he's sitting courtside with Rich Paul. It's like, don't you understand? Like he's using the media because this is a very nationalized, like national televised game, college basketball game, Kentucky, Duke, all these things. He's with Rich Paul the day it's announced. But like, no, it's got to come from me. Dude,
yeah. Cap. And now Josh Giddey also, he ruptured his ankle ligament and says what?
He said that he will be back before the start of the year, but no one kind of knew this injury. Kind of happened at the end of the Olympics. But my factor cap for you is a lot of people are saying that Josh Giddey can do a lot of what Lonzo Ball does. And obviously Lonzo Ball hasn't played for a bit, but factor cap, Josh Giddey can do the Lonzo Ball role of being that dynamic playmaker for this team.
So let's look at Lonzo Ball's career three-point percentage, sitting there at 37%. I don't think Josh Giddey's three-point percentage is anywhere near there. I'm thinking in the 20%, 23% range. No. And if they thought he could do what Lonzo Ball could do, then why is Lonzo Ball and him on the same team? Like, that would be a big redundancy there. There's a lot of capping going on with our Chicago Bulls. I am also concerned why Josh Giddey, we're just finding out about his ankle injury. Fourthly, AK says this team's not focused on the draft. We're here to win. This is a bonus one. That is cap. That is cap, folks. If you're not focusing on Cooper Flagg, you're either lying or you're incompetent and deserve to be fired. It's about time for me to get up out of here. Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. Follow me on IG, Trista_Crick, TikTok, Threads. I'm even doing some stuff on Threads as well. Big shout out to producer extraordinaire Robert Triano, a.k.a. Robbie the God. Up next is BetMGM Tonight with Ryan Horvath. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. He's got heat for you just like us.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.